couple things to deal with before looking at the Bible again with you. One is on the back shelf there. There's a gift bag for folks who are by themselves in the house, either widow or widower, or can't get out a lot. And it's meant to be a gift from the church, a gift from the young people to be a blessing to them. There's some goodies in here, candy, and some good things that are healthy, and some that just taste good and not so healthy. But the goal is to give this to a person and be a blessing to them, that you personally would take that. And the best way to handle this, I think, you look on the sheet back there and the names are listed, or you look on the bags, whatever's easiest for you to find somebody, and say, I'm going to call this person up and say, hey, can I drop something off at your house? And, they're not going to say, stay away, I don't want any gifts. So go and be a blessing and visit for a while, and maybe, as God leads you, love to pray with you before you leave. You can do that as a believer and be a blessing to somebody. So we thank the young people and for putting this together to pass on. And if you really want to put the icing on the cake, you say, hey, what's your favorite cookie? And they tell you, and you go down and you get them from Giant Eagle or Eaton Park or Lemon Meringue Pie or whatever it is. And you take it to them and you'll be a blessing, and they'll say, that was great. And so be a blessing by passing some good news on to others. And this morning I did want to, of course, every time we gather together to sing to the Lord, it's a delight to His soul when we sing from the heart, and I think we do. And I wanted to especially thank the ones singing today and playing just some powerful songs there. Just think about the wondrous cross and the choir saying, oh, how wonderful, oh, how marvelous my song shall ever be. And that's my Savior's love for me. You can sing that in your soul. I saw that on TV last night. They had a Billy Graham rerun for, it must have been like 1968. And the choir was singing that with great intensity, same with our choir. And the call to come home to Christ through Vicki and Chris. Boy, that song was enough to just say, stop everything. If you need to put your faith in Christ, do that. Say, I want to become a Christian by putting my faith in the Lord. I come home to Him. I was made for Him. And if that's you who God has been speaking to through the music, and then say in your heart, Jesus, be my Savior. And with your help, I'll follow you all the days of my life. And there's a verse in the Bible that says, he who puts his faith in Christ is not ashamed or disappointed in the greatness of God. So God's greatness is for you, and this could be your turnaround day by just a simple prayer in your heart. But I want you to think about that and act upon that just because of the testimonies of these songs, who were quite moving. If I wasn't a Christian, I'd become a Christian, right, because of the music, all the music and the hymns and those who play. So thank you, offering to the Lord and everything. Every day the Lord tells us something that knocks us off our feet and catches us unguarded with His tough love. And isn't it like God that He has the right combination of tough love and mercy to get our attention, tell us what we need to hear, but is so gracious in helping us follow through with what He passes on. And one of those situations happened in the gospel lesson that Kevin read. Jesus says to His followers, His disciples, I must suffer, and it's something He must do, I must suffer and be killed. And Peter says, we don't want this at all. And we can understand emotionally, I think, what the disciples were going through. This is probably the worst news they ever heard. And you could probably remember times in your life when you heard news, your stomach just dropped. And it wiped you out emotionally that here's the Messiah, the leader, who has loved these guys, and they're counting on Him to get them out of the mess they're in. And He says, I must suffer and be killed. the emotional impact of that. Think of your own life if a loved one told you that about themselves. I must suffer and be killed. Can we avoid this? We know from after the resurrection, Jesus did that for our sake. But the disciples didn't know that. They said, this is really upsetting. I must suffer and be killed. And Jesus, who loves you 100% all the time, every good gift that came into your life is from Him. And up to this point, He has saved you from death and hell. You're still here. So you have a lot to be thankful for. And a lot to turn to the Lord about. But Jesus said, the Son of Man must suffer and be killed. And then shown the disciples and us, we're totally unprepared for the radical nature of Jesus' message and mission. He turns to His disciples and He says to them, and whoever wants to come after Me must, same word, must take up his cross, deny himself, and follow Me. And He said that to the crowd. So we're a crowd here today. So that's for every person who would say, yeah, by the grace of God, I believe in Christ. I must deny myself, take up my cross, and follow Him. How am I going to do that without God's help? He better be helping me in order to do that. Many people in history literally had to live through that walk to eternity and death itself because of following Christ. If you look in history, since Jesus rose from the dead, there have been about 70 million people killed as Christian martyrs. That's a huge amount of people. And in the last century alone, 45 million who said, I will follow Christ whether I live or die. What a testimony. And that's meant to be an inspiration for us. That we say, this is what Jesus means to real believers. And if you know Him, that's what He means to your soul. You may be going through tough times emotionally or physically. Your testimony is basically the same. Whether I live or die, I'm following Christ. And by the grace of God, He helps us do that. And Jesus really turns up the heat on His disciples and says, you must take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow Me. When you do that, He says, you will see the kingdom of God come with power in your life. So we do meet God in a special way when we say, I surrender all to Him. And why would you not want to give your best to Christ when He gave His best for you? You know, you're going to give your heart and your best to somebody or something. And you were created to give it to Christ, who loves you and is for you 100%. And this morning, just asking you by God's Spirit to make the same radical surrender that the disciples were challenged to make. Okay. Now, to become a Christian, you surrender to Christ, you pray, and then you begin to follow. So this message is for all believers. Even if you become a believer today, this message is for you. I want to share five brief examples of people who were just like you, who heard the call, the true call of Jesus, to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Me. And they did it in an inspiring way. So I share these stories not to shame you or me into following the Lord, because my life has not been on the line, you know, in life or death. I've lost a few friends along the way and had to bite the bullet, as it were, many a time. But nobody ever even gave me a bloody nose because I was a Christian. Okay. But to hear the story of other people, how they followed Christ, it helps us in our soul to say, I'm a child of God too. And by God's grace, I will follow. Well, here's five people. C.S. Lewis, he's a Christian writer. Rich Mullins, he's a Christian singer. James Eliot and Charles Studd were missionaries. Francis of Assisi was a devoted follower of Christ, who was a joyful guy who didn't mind poverty. That's how we'll describe them. But listen to these examples. The first one, C.S. Lewis, deals with our everyday saying, I deny myself, I take the cross, I follow Christ. C.S. Lewis' take on this. And just to put a little realism on the thing, I don't know if you're familiar with the song that came out by Toby Keith about 4 or 5 years ago. I wish I knew the title. It just came to me when I was in between services. And he's talking to his loved one over there, and he says, well, I like talking about you, but occasionally I want to talk about me, want to talk about I, want to talk about number one. Okay. Now, all that, we've all felt that way. That's been our testimony in some of the cases, even toward the Lord. Lord, that's enough about you. Let's talk about me. And that's not gonna work in our relationship with God. If we have pain, we come to Him, and He's compassionate. But He's most interested in speaking to us words that will help us in the long run. So C.S. Lewis sees the need to say, I deny myself, take up the cross, follow Christ. This is what he says. He says, the real problem in the Christian life happens every morning. So this is a daily thing. The real problem in the Christian life happens every morning. All your desires and wishes that are selfish come rushing at you like wild animals. Reject them, he says. And that could just be starting the day off thinking of, you know, plans that you have to run your own life. You're headed down the road of self-destruction. When we see selfishness in another person, we think, man, that's not attractive at all. There's something perverse about that. And so the Lord would shine His light on our soul and say, hey, let me deal with that. Let me deal with the selfishness that's inherent in you. And I can give you a heart after myself. He says, listen to God's voice instead of the voice of the wild animals. God's voice is larger, stronger, and the voice of truth. Lewis also taught there were two parts of our selfish nature. He called it the animal part. That's the part where we overindulge things, you know, get drunk, and I'll try the drug thing, and I'll be greedy. He called that the animal part of our sin nature. And then he called the other part the intelligent part of our sin nature that says this, I am good and I don't need God. Okay, that's when we rely on ourselves too much. And he said the intelligent part is more dangerous than the animal part. Because chances are when we walk this week, we're not going to be saying every day I'm going to just totally indulge myself. But I might walk through the day saying, I'm good enough, I don't need God. So Lewis says, don't listen to the self, listen to God. Take up your cross, if needed, minute by minute. Paul said, die daily. I surrender selfishness because Christ is really the best for my soul and for life. Jesus said, you must do this. You must say yes to Christ and no to you. That was C.S. Lewis's advice. In my own life, I know I read a question that was very diagnostic for us in regards to following Christ. The question was, what in your life, you think about this for your own soul, what in your life gets you most angry, agitated, frustrated, or excited? Okay, what really gets your goat, either in a good way or bad way? Jesus is coming to put His kind hand on that area of your life, and He is saying, this belongs to me. This belongs to me. Would you please surrender that and die to your selfish ways with that and follow me? Follow Christ and deny yourself. You let the Lord speak to you in those areas. I know what my 3 or 4 areas are because He has to repeat the directions often. But it is worth hearing Him, because until I surrender that to God, I won't handle those things well. Deny yourself, take up your cross. I have a new life with Christ, and follow Him. That's C.S. Lewis. Second example, James Elliot, missionary to Ecuador. The missionaries put their shoes on one at a time, if you ever got to know one. You know, they're as common as you can get with a good calling in their life. He died because he told the Aka Indians that the Lord loved them. And he loved them also. But he was killed. And so James Elliot said about dying to self, listen to this. He said, he is no fool to give up what he can't keep to gain what he cannot lose. What can you keep about the life that you're clutching on to? You were never meant to keep it to yourself. You're meant to give it back to God and say, thank you, God. Give up what you can't keep, your life, to gain what you can't lose, Christ. Him being your shepherd, your Lord, your friend, your creator, your redeemer. That's a good loss to lose to yourself to gain Christ. Jesus said, well, you could gain the whole world, but if you lose your soul, what good is that? And the songwriter says, I don't want to gain the whole world and lose my soul. That's our heart. James Elliot says, surrender to God. You cannot keep for yourself what you think is precious. Give it to God and you'll find life in that area that you're holding. And Charles Studd, missionary to first China, India, and then Africa. He inherited a fortune from his father. So he was pretty excited about that. But then he's thinking, all this stuff's going to hold me back if I'm headed for China and India and Africa. So he gave it all away. I'm going to tell the full stewardship story someday on a sermon on stewardship. But he gave it all away, and he was so joyful and effective. You know, and he wasn't walking around in starvation. God provided. But he said, this is not what my life's all about. All this that, you know, was given. Christ is what my life was all about. And so he said a statement that really made an impact for my life, and I think for all of us. And we just take it and run with it where we are. If Christ is God and died for me, then no sacrifice I make for him is too great. Wow, what a way to live. If Christ is God, that is true, and died for me, that is true. No sacrifice I make for him will be too great. And that just puts fuel in our discipleship. All of a sudden, it's, how can I serve God and others today? That becomes the driving force in your life. Give yourself to God. He gave himself for you. That's the message. And then Francis of Assisi, how did he live out? Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow Jesus. He was a joyful follower of Christ. He wrote the song, All Creatures of Our God and King, which has been sung for about 800 years by believers. That's how good it is. All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing, oh, praise him. He thought about following the Lord, and he knew he had to give up selfishness. So this is a part of what he prayed, a very famous prayer. Oh, divine master, you could picture yourself praying this. Oh, divine master, oh Lord, grant that I may not seek to be consoled as to console. In other words, Lord, what's really important in life is not that people say, how are you doing over there? And is everything okay? Can I get you a bigger hymn book? Or what can I do to make your church life more comfortable? Really, that's not what it's all about. Not so much that I'm consoled, but that I console. Who can I care about this week? The driving force of Christ's love in your life. And he went on to pray, not so much to be understood as to understand. Will somebody please understand me? You know, my family doesn't understand me. My boss doesn't understand me. And my Christian brother and sister. And it's just not so much to be understood, but to understand. Who can I listen to in a way that is redemptive for them? It'll be following Christ, life with him. And then he said, not so much to be loved as to love. Every person you meet is an opportunity to love. Passing on how much Christ has loved you. That was Francis. That was his way of saying, did I myself take up the cross and follow? Last example is Rich Mullins. Again, these people are just like you and I. They're following the Lord one step at a time. But Rich Mullins died in a car accident in 1997, Christian singer and writer. He wrote the song Awesome God. I started thinking about this before I knew Vicki picked it as a song today. And before he died in this car accident, a couple years previous to that, he went to live on an Indian reservation. We had some people visit Indian reservations. And it's a very poverty-stricken area normally. And he said, I'm going to live there because I love the Indian folk and I'm going to tell them about the Lord and live and serve with them. So he's living really simply. He told his record company that he wants all the money from his concerts and all the money from his CD sales to go to the Lord's work. So that's something. You know, he says, just give it where it's needed. I'm living lean and mean over here with the Navajo Indians, and he's very fulfilled. Dies tragically in a car accident and goes to be with the Lord. But the testimony of his life was Christ was more precious to him than himself. And I think that's the question God asks us when Jesus looks at each one of us and says, now listen, you heard how I must go to the cross, and we are so thankful he did, or there'd be no salvation. I'm going to say with the same intensity and same words, you must deny yourself. When Jesus says must, that gets my attention. You must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. In other words, your selfish life, you got to let it go. And now you can have a new life with Christ. He says, if you try to hold it, you'll lose it. But if you lose it for me, you will find it. Rich Mullins and Francis and Charles, the missionary, and they find life with God. You know, and God offers that to us too. Maybe the Lord's tugging at your heart and saying, you know, I have saved your soul, but you have been a selfish Christian. And you could hear God's word, and he could set you free daily, minute by minute, if necessary. And all the fellows who wrote about this call to discipleship have said, this is a once and for all decision in your life, but it's also a daily decision. Paul said, the Apostle Paul, I die daily. And it's a way to be free. So you and I as Christians, if we're trying to follow the Lord in a selfish manner, he could help us with that. Would you surrender to Christ today, and only by the grace and help of God, say yes. This is something I must do. Say yes to Christ and no to me. That I myself take up my cross. Follow. And remember the promise. He said, Jesus said, he who really trusts me, he won't be disappointed. I never met a Christian who was surrendered to the Lord like that, who said, I think I made a mistake. But they said, I don't find anybody better than Christ for my soul, for my life, for eternity. And might God deal with you in that manner. Different people are comfortable with prayer up front. If you'd want to come and pray up front about denying yourself, taking up your cross and following God, our last song is very good to help you do that. Others would come and pray. Guys pray with the guys. Gals pray with the gals. If you want to pray in your pew and say, being a selfish Christian just doesn't make any sense. Lord, would you help me be a true follower of yours? Because your spirit tells me to do so. So Virginia's going to play the song so we could think and pray, and then we'll sing. And if you want to come forward and pray, you're invited to do so. It's a safe place and a place of commitment. If you say, God has spoken to me and this is my holy place in the pew, that's good for you too. The Lord will meet you where you are.